Welcome to installment 281 of Sefer Mitzvahs from the Rambam. In today's portion, we will discuss Positive Commandment 245, the law of acquisition of objects, the law of kinyan. Although we have had this positive commandment on previous occasions, the reason we are learning it again is because the daily portion of Sefer Mitzvahs has been set up to correspond with the daily laws being learned in Mishneh Torah from the Rambam. And presently in Mishneh Torah, we're starting the laws of Hilchas Shluchin V'Shutzin, the laws regulating when someone makes a proxy to represent him, or the law governing a partnership. And included in these laws is when you make someone your representative to buy something or sell something, and so too if your partner buys or sells something, what are the laws regulating this transaction? Since there is no specific biblical commandment to apply only to the law of shluchin v'shutfin, messengers and partners, the closest one is this law of mekach u'memkar, buying and selling, since the laws of when a messenger, a representative, or a partner can buy or sell something for you are also included in this positive commandment. Therefore, we are again discussing this positive commandment, and will be doing so, God willing, over the next few days. We will, however, be adding new ideas each day, and there will be different shiurim for each day. The Rambam tells us that the law of mekach u'memkar is the description, and the law is describing when a sale will be finalized. What must be done in order to make the sale a valid sale, and when does it become irreversible? The Rambam traces back this commandment to the book of Leviticus, chapter 25, verse 14, which begins, V'chisim kuru mimkar lamisecha, when one person sells something to another, and the verse continues, giving some laws about the sale. We see from this verse that there is a certain way the Torah prescribes how something must be sold, and the selling itself becomes a mitzvah, not that it is a positive commandment to sell anything or to buy anything. Rather, when the sale becomes a valid sale is governed by the laws of this particular commandment. The Rambam describes two separate categories of things which have different laws relating to how they can be acquired. First of all, there is metaltolin, things which can be physically moved, which is the literal meaning of metaltolin. And second of all, there is the law of karka, land, or other immovable objects. Both of these have different ways in which they are acquired. First, the Rambam discusses the law of movable objects. The Talmud finds a hint in this particular verse, as it is stated further, Oikonu miyada misecho, meaning the beginning of which we quoted previously, if something is sold to one's friend, or something is bought from one's friend. However, the verse does not say from mea misecho, from your friend, it says from the hands of your friend, which implies, says the Talmud, that the thing must be moved from one hand to another. In other words, the acquisition must consist of a physical movement. In the case of something which can be moved, we have a requirement of meshicha, which means the object must be moved from one person's ownership to the other. It must be pulled by the person that's buying it. This is one type of kinyan, an act of acquisition. However, the Rambam is quick to point out that this is not required by biblical law, as the Rambam delineates throughout Sefer HaMitzvahs which are the biblical requirements and which are only rabbinic requirements. By biblical law, the Rambam says, money is sufficient in order to purchase any movable object. The money itself, the transfer of money, even if the object has not been moved, finalizes the sale. However, by rabbinic decree, our sages demanded that not only should money be given, but the object must be moved as well before the sale is finalized. And the reason for this is given that if the sale is finalized only by the transfer of money, then even when it has not been moved and it is still physically in the possession of the seller, it will belong to the buyer. And there might be cases that the seller will not be so inclined as to care for this object. Let's say it should take some extra effort to prevent damage to the object or to prevent it being stolen. He will not provide this effort and not go out of his way because he already has his money and the object no longer belongs to him. Therefore, a stage is enacted that the buyer must also move the object before the sale is finalized. And even if the seller has received his money, he still has not really sold the object. And should any damage occur to the object, he will be obliged to give the money back to the buyer, since the object has not been sold yet. And these are the two kinyanim, the two acts of acquisition that Rambam describes. There's the biblical requirement of giving money, and the rabbinical requirement of moving it. There are two other rabbinic enactments which are similar to this idea of mashicha, of physically pulling the object. There is hagbah, lifting up the object, which has a similar purpose as mashicha, and so too what's known as mesira, which is telling the buyer, go and take possession of this object. Or even if the buyer physically takes possession without having anything said, and the owner is watching while it happens and is silent, this indicates his agreement that the object has been bought, and this also accomplishes the transfer of property. The Rambam now brings a quote from the Talmud to prove that this requirement of moving the object is only a rabbinic decree. The quote from the Talmud goes as follows, that just as our sages required moving the object in a case of buying, so too they required pulling of the object, mashicha, in the case of a watchman. That before a watchman has official responsibility for the object, he must not only verbally agree or even accept money for watching the object, he must physically take possession of the object and move the object. What do we see from this quote of the Talmud? The Talmud says that our sages enacted this idea of mashicha. Our sages were the ones that required that the object be physically moved. Should it not have been done, it's not an act of acquisition. No transfer has been made. But meanwhile, the Talmud said that our sages enacted it. And this proves clearly the Rambam's contention that it is only a rabbinic requirement and not a biblical requirement. The Rambam goes further and mentions that by the case of land, we have only biblically required acts of acquisition. These are shtar and chazakah, writing out a document, and also chazakah, physically showing your ownership over the field or over the house, by making a physical improvement in the object. Although you cannot move it, you can change it in some way. And this will also show your ownership. A third one, which the Rambam does not mention, is kesef. Giving money is enough in the case of land or immovable objects, is enough to affect the transfer of property. The Rambam perhaps doesn't mention it, since he already mentioned that money is good enough by the case of movable objects. And certainly in the case of karka, of land which is immovable, certainly the money would be good enough. Or perhaps he's hinting to a law given in his legal code that money only acquires the transfer of property if accompanied by a document, if that happens to be the custom of the land, if there must be a document accompanying a sale. Whatever the case is, there are a total of three different types of acquisition in the case of land. The details of this law that Rambam tells us are given throughout the Talmud, the first chapter of Kiddushin, chapters 4 and 8 of Baba Metzia, and chapters 3 through 7 of Baba Batra. Chassidus gives an explanation according to the spiritual idea of things, according to one specific law regarding the acquisition of movable objects. The Rambam rules that in order to acquire a movable object, metaltolin, you must move it to mashicha. However, it must not be done in a public domain, not in the middle of the marketplace or the street as it may be. You must pull it from the public domain into a private domain, into private property. Otherwise, there has been no official acquisition of property. It must not remain in the Rishus HaRabim, literally the property of a multitude of many people, public property. It must be brought to Rishus HaYachid, to the property of an individual, to Yachid. And Chassidus explains that this is a general idea involving the service of a Jew in this world. What is the difference between Rishus HaRabim, a public domain, and the Rishus HaYachid, a private domain? A public domain is something under the ownership of many different people. And this is referring to this physical world, where godliness is not seen as the only existence. There appear to be many forces in evidence. There's a world of divisiveness, sometimes of hatred, and certainly a place where there are difficulties placed in the way of a Jew who wants to keep Torah and mitzvahs. That's the idea of a public domain, Reshus HaRabim, since there are many different alien and hostile influences. On the other hand, Reshus HaYachid, a private domain, literally the domain of Yachid, of one, is speaking to Hashem himself, of the godly world, and God himself, who is oneness, who is total unity, where everything is holiness. And this is Reshus HaYachid, the property of Yachid, of oneness. And we see that when it comes to an act of acquisition, you must take something out of the public domain and bring it to the private domain. And so too, this is the job of the neshama. When the soul descends here to this world, to a public domain, it must make acquisitions. It must acquire things. It must acquire sparks of holiness, which have descended to this world. However, in what is the process? In what consists their acquisition? They must do mashicha. They must pull the object out of its one, out of its present situation, out of its present domain. And it must be not only a change from one place to another, it must be from the public domain to the private domain. We must take it out of the world where it's all the alien influences and all of the things which this physical object could have been used for, which are not holy. We must reveal the holiness within it, and thereby bring it into Reshus HaYachid, into the possession of the Yachid, of the oneness of the world, the oneness of the universe, the Holy One, blessed be He. And therefore, through performance of mitzvahs and revealing the godliness within the world, we make the whole world a possession in a revealed sense of the Holy One, blessed be He, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that He acquires the world and He raises it out of its state of pirud, out of division, and out of conflict, from Reshus HaRabim, a public domain where there are many influences and many apparent sources of ownership, and brings it up to the private domain, where the Reshus HaYachid, the property of the only one in the universe, the Holy One, blessed be He, God Himself. Thank you for tuning in to the daily portion of Sefer HaMitzvahs. For more information or to sponsor one of the installments, contact Sichas in English at area code 718-778-5436. That's 718-778-5436. And please join us again tomorrow.